Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate that. And I don't know about you, but I always love hearing about youth ministries. A lot of people think youth ministries are no big deal and not important. Well, I'm here to tell you they're super important. I was a youth pastor for almost 10 years myself. And friends, when you start seeing the fruit, literally like 10 years later, okay, then you realize, that is important. And so I just encourage you to keep sinking into the youth ministry here. You will see the fruit. It will be seen. And I do want to start with this before I get started. We had kind of an interesting opening song this morning. Mike and I were talking, and he's like, well, what's your message going to be on? And I told him, you know, about seeking truth and such. And I go, you know, I just think God is calling me to share my testimony. And you know how Mike is. When Mike gets an idea, he runs with it. And he was like, he sent me over the internet, he sent me this song, and he goes, I think I'm going to start the whole service with this. And I'm like, this is not very worship-filled, brother. and he's like, no, but it really fits with the message. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, let's go for it. And so you'll hear a little bit about that today as I share my testimony. So let's get started here. It is important to ask questions. I'm so glad that Mark and the staff here have decided to get into this kind of a series, not just for the congregation, but even over the internet and such. I think it's amazing. Asking questions is so important. And I want to add this. Seeking out and searching for absolute truth goes right along with that. You can ask questions till you're blue in the face, and if you're not seeking out the truth, no offense, but it's worthless. If you just keep asking and asking and asking and never wanting an answer that's the right answer, kind of leads you down a path of nothing but confusion. So with that said, people ask these questions all the time. God, are you real? If you're not, who makes the rules for living? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Friends, these are just some of the questions that I was asking back in 1994 myself, when I was seeking and searching for absolute truth. You see, I was living a very ungodly life and knew the path that I was heading down was not a good one, and my flesh really liked it. But I knew either in my mind or by revelation of the Holy Spirit that this way of living was not going to be good for me in the long run. So I literally started walking the streets of Seattle and asking God those questions that I started out the message with. God, are you real? If you're not, who makes the rules for living? Who makes them? Why am I here? What is the purpose to life? Let's pray. God, as we begin this morning, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, share my testimony, and I pray that you would give each one of us in here a heart and a spirit that is willing to receive. And Holy Spirit, I pray you make your presence known here this morning. I thank you for being the King of the universe. And we lift this up to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I started asking those questions. And then as I kept asking, I added this to my ranting. God, if you're real, prove yourself to me. I will serve you all the days of my life, and I will not question you. Just prove to me that you're real. Well, to that, I have to say this. Careful what you pray for. And careful for what you ask for. And you need to be careful with what you tell God you are willing to do for him. I thank God that he sent me a godly man in my life to help me navigate through all of this. He was not only a super loving person, but he was not afraid to challenge me in my foolish, ungodly thinking. He'd usually ask me a question and then point me in the direction of truth, and then he'd let me find it on my own. As I said, and as Mike started out the whole service with, I want to be a rock star. Friends, that was me. Had hair like down to here. I mean, it was like big as a lion, way down. And my goal was literally to become a rock star. That's what I wanted to do. I had grown up in Minnesota, and my sophomore year of high school, started a band with some buddies, and we did really, really well. And I was like, well, if we're doing pretty good here, I'm going to go somewhere where we can make it. So I moved to Seattle, Washington when the whole grunge scene was going on. And got into that scene really heavily. I lived right downtown Seattle, Washington. The Space Needle was right there from my apartment. Puget Sound, I could probably throw a rock into it. Seattle, just so you know, I know they're having issues, but I tell you, it is a really cool city. It is. It's beautiful, at least when I was there. And I really started living the rock star life because it was all about me. I wanted to be on the radio. I wanted to be on MTV and all that stuff. That was like the goal of my life. And I thank God that he brought this man, Danny Castro, into my life. You see, we got to know each other through attending classes at a school there. And then we started working on projects together in music, doing video projects, and just got to know each other. And we'd be hanging out like a lot. And we'd, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, be at a bar, be at a party, whatever. I mean, filled with people. And everybody would be doing their thing, and Danny would be standing there, either at the counter or just, you know, leaning on a corner of a wall, whatever, and he'd just be sipping his Coca-Cola. I mean, talking to people, sure, but, you know, just hanging out, drinking that Coke. And I took notice of that. And, I mean, friends, he never drank alcohol. He never decided to do drugs. Never saw him take a girl home. Never saw, I mean, nothing. It was like, I was like, why is he here? So I went up to him. And I'm like, Danny, why are you here? And he looked at me and he goes, do you really want to know? And I'm like, yeah, I really want to know. It's why I'm asking. And then he paused and he's like, do you really want to know? And I was like, yeah, I wouldn't be asking if I didn't want to know. So he looked at me and he said, Jason, I'm a Christian. And I follow Jesus Christ. And I believe if Jesus was living on the earth right now, he'd be hanging out with you guys here. Do you want to know more? And I was like, yeah, I want to know more. That began a four-month relationship, discussion, argument, whatever you want to call it, discipleship time with him and me. It got pretty intense sometimes. You see, I decided at that moment that I was going to go wherever truth led me, even if I didn't like the answers that I was getting. Little did I realize that by making this decision for my life, what I was really agreeing to was getting to know Jesus Christ and to get closer to him. You see, if you have your Bibles open to John 14, in John 14, 6 and 7, we see the words of Jesus. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Again, so for the next 4 months, this man of God, Danny, discipled me. Through all of the things I was doing, through all of the fighting, the questioning, he was faithful, and I love him so dearly. Without him, I can guarantee I would not be speaking to you today about this. I wouldn't be standing here for sure. You see, his tough love and his patience and self-control still amazes me to this day. I can assure you, without my friend Danny Castro sinking his life into me, I really have no idea where I would be today. I don't even know if I'd be alive. Friends, there would be times I would tell him what an idiot he was being. And he would usually just say something like this. Well, why do you think that? What makes you think you're right about this, Jason? I'd tell him and, you know, espouse my wisdom upon him. And then I would rant. And then he'd give me some information and help me to see how his point of view could actually be correct. So I had a choice to make. Receive it or ignore it. You see, as we continued on this way together and through this discipleship, I'll call it, I got bolder and bolder in approaching God Almighty. Which, looking back, I'm like, man, how'd he put up with me? Friends, in my alone time and what I now call prayer time, walking the streets of Seattle, you know, as you've already heard, I told God, God, if you're real, you prove yourself to me. I will serve you all the days of my life, and I will not question you. Just prove to me that you are real. I will serve you all the days of my life. Again, friends, I reiterate, be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you ask for. And be careful what you tell God you are willing to do for him. You see, friends, as I was walking around the streets of Seattle, it would be like when you go to a baseball game or football game or whatever, and you're walking out of the game, you know, there's a lot of people there, maybe musicians or a street person, things. And have you ever seen the person that's talking to themselves? I think y'all know who I'm talking about. I mean, that was me. I was that crazy guy. Ah, God, if you're real, prove yourself, right? And people were like, what is up with this guy? I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't drinking. I was seriously seeking out God. You see, near the end of the 4 months with Danny, I was sleeping in my bed in my apartment. And in July of 1995, I woke up exactly at 4 o'clock in the morning. I know this because you see that clock right back there that has the nice big red numbers. Most of you know what it already looks like. But I had one of those kind of clocks. That was the obnoxious red numbers. We all had one probably with the annoying alarm, but it woke us up. And I had one of those, and they're super bright. And so I know the time. I sensed that there was a presence in the apartment. This presence filled every single hole, every single nook and cranny, went around every corner. If it was in this room right here, you see that sound treatment up there? It'd be like wherever there's a corner, it would be there. If a side, doesn't matter, wherever. I mean, it even filled in where there's like holes in the fiber of the carpet. It was that engulfing. I was not afraid of this presence. I knew it was something powerful and great, but I wasn't afraid. It was like respect, if you will. Friends, I sensed this presence physically. I sensed pressure on my chest and on my thighs, physically. Again, I was not on any drugs. I wasn't drinking. I was stone cold sober. Again, I felt that pressure. And then I heard with my ears, yes, audibly, not in my mind, not in my spirit, but with my ears. I heard one word, and that one word was Minnesota. I knew that this was either God or some representative of God. I knew what this word meant because I'd grown up in Minnesota. And when I moved to Seattle, like I've already told you, I completely tried living for myself. The next morning, I called my parents and told them what happened. And my mom said, "Oh, Jason, we have been praying for you for so long." And I looked at the phone and I go, "You believe me?" Both of my parents were on the line, and they both said, "Yes." And so, friends, I got my things in order to move back to Minnesota. It took me about 2 weeks. And the very day that I got back to the state of Minnesota, I met my wife-to-be. Believe me, though, at the time, we had no plans to get married, date, or do anything like that. Nothing. Friends, I began making tough decisions to stop my old way of living. I knew I needed to follow God and his ways. I'm thankful for a pastor that chose to disciple me while I was in Minnesota. We'd meet virtually every Wednesday morning at a Greasy Spoon for about an hour. At the time, I had no idea. I had no idea how much that time would influence my life and point me toward Christ. Friends, that discipleship time changed my life completely. Then my wife and I, we got married in 1997, and we moved to Ohio to take a youth ministry position. Little did I know how much two men of God were going to disciple me and help me to become the man of God that I am today. One was our senior pastor, Derek Hines. And the other is your senior pastor, Mark Quinter. Those two men of God and I met together every week for I don't even know how long. They challenged me so much and helped me so much to put on my new self in Christ. They taught me the importance of hearing the voice of God and obeying him, even if I thought I had a better plan or idea. In all the years we worked together, only one thing failed. And that one thing was when I thought I had a better idea and a better agenda, rather than doing what God wanted. It wasn't that what I wanted was really bad. You need to hear that. It wasn't a bad thing. It just wasn't God's plan. They both asked me if I was certain that God wanted this done. You see, it's before it all started, they both were really skeptical. You could just sense it. At first, I was like, well, yeah, you bet. But as it went on for a few months, it was obvious that God had other plans. I remember Derek Hines looking at me after it had failed, miserably, by the way, and he strongly but lovingly said, "Don't do that again. Always do what God wants, even if it seems foolish. He will not steer you wrong." Friends, I have taken that to heart, and I am so thankful for both of those men. Friends, as my oldest daughter comes up to share with you, I'd like to encourage you with this. We need to take off our old self and put on the new self. We need to be willing to be discipled by godly people and learn from them to grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Annika Dezurek, and today I will be sharing with you all the story of the woman at the well. And this story starts off with Jesus meeting this woman at a well. And Jesus is a Jew and this woman is a Samaritan. And during this time, these two people, they did not get along. They just did not associate with each other. And this woman is coming to the well to do exactly what you would expect. She's here to fill her jar with the water that is in the well. And the Bible says that in verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And in verse 10, it says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus knows that this woman is living a life of complete unsatisfaction, that she's living a life filled with things that will never bring her true joy. that she's living a life not even breathing almost, like that song we sang, breathing but not alive. Jesus says in verse 13, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's offering her true satisfaction. He's offering her a true life worth living. And Jesus goes on to say that he knows everything about her. He knows that at home she has not just five husbands who she's already been married to, but she has a man at home who's not her husband. She's lived a life of sin. She's lived a life completely unworthy of living water. And yet he offers it to her. He offers it to her because he was the worthy sacrifice. He then says in verse 24, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And in this moment, Jesus is offering her an identity to be something new, an identity that would seize living water. In verse 27, it says, just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And this is the moment in which we always skip over. And we always just assume, ah, she returned home and told others about Christ. And that's where we stop. But it's so much more personal than that. It's so much more than that. Than leaving her water jar. Than leaving her water jar. Than leaving the old life behind. Than leaving the very thing that she desired to fill herself with. For what she desired, for what would satisfy her, did not remain in the well, but at the well. This water jar was the very representation of her old life, the very representation of unsatisfaction, of worthlessness, of a life that was not breathing. She had to make a decision that was so personal to leave her old life behind before she could go tell others. She first had to seize the moment, seize the opportunity, seize the living water that Jesus was offering her. It had to be that personal. And then she went and shared the light, shared the living with water with others that Jesus offered her. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Annika. I really appreciate that. With that said, how are you doing leaving your water jar behind? Are you ready to drink from the well that never runs dry? Friends, I can assure you of this. Following God and his ways does not get rid of your problems. It does, however, give you peace of mind and comfort knowing that in Jesus Christ you are his child and have access to the kingdom of God. You know, I wish I could tell you that my family and I have arrived. We have not. But as it says in Philippians 3, 12b through 16. It says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We need to be of the same mind. You know, as I close, I'd like to share with you a little bit about the ministry we run, Worldview Warriors, which is about living out and learning about and living out a biblical worldview, having a mindset. Friends, we've been encouraging and equipping students and the saints to impact this generation right now since 2006. We truly believe we have been raised for such a time as this, the crazy times we live in. For years, we have just been trusting in God to bring us the people that we need in the ministry and those that we are to sink our lives into. And honestly, I am still shocked at how much God is using this ministry all over the world. You see, we started blogging and podcasting long before it was cool. And certainly long before we actually even knew what we were doing. Back during the infancy of the ministry, we were buying and reading up on books on how to blog and how to podcast. Then in 2009, we were given an opportunity to start our one-hour radio program, Do Not Keep Silent, because we'd been podcasting for so long, and they were like, hey, you guys kind of know what you're doing, so we'll give you some time. That was on 90.1 FM here in Northwest Ohio. Well, this then turned into a two-hour program, which now we take and edit into a 27-minute podcast called Do Not Keep Silent as well. Because of God's grace, friends, we are not only reaching people in the United States, but also in countries like South Africa, Vietnam, Great Britain, and many more, which include France, Germany, and even the United Arab Emirates. With that said, I and my family so appreciate this congregation. And we thank you for those of you that support Worldview Warriors with your prayers and your financial support. For those of you who are prayerfully and thinking about maybe supporting a parachurch ministry, I'd encourage you to consider supporting Worldview Warriors. Again, we feel like we have been raised for exactly this moment in time. Please consider supporting the ministry monthly. Again, through prayers or financial gifts. Friends, your support with these gifts is so needed and goes a very long way. And we are so thankful again for this congregation. Friends, out on our table out there, as you leave, you'll be able to find information about the ministry. You'll also be able to find some resources we have available. We've been starting to publish books, and you can find them on paperback, even in Kindle. You can also find support cards and envelopes out there as well. Now, on August 31st, we'll be releasing this resource. It's called 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible. We're starting to move into more of things like this simply because unless you're living under a rock, you realize people today think that this, well, the Bible, this Bible here, They think, oh, it was written by a bunch of drunk monks, or they don't know what they're talking about. Why would I follow that? Okay, in this book helps people to understand why it's so important. Again, it'll be releasing on August 31st of this year. We're just super thankful for all of the bloggers and people that sink into our ministry. Once again, please prayerfully consider joining us in advancing the kingdom of God here on earth. Friends, God has taken things and just moved it so far. It's incredible. So again, I thank you for your support and your prayers. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for working in and through the people here. I pray in Jesus' holy name, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would be willing to ask you questions. And they'd be willing to listen. Even if their flesh doesn't like it. And God, for those who do know you, I ask that you would dig into their lives a bit. Help them to see certain areas that maybe they haven't got it figured out yet. And I ask for them to be open to your leading. Be open to changing in that area. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. And as I close with this prayer, God, I ask that each person, think of someone they love, whether it's a family member or a friend, that you'd bring a name to their mind, and right as of right now, they would lift that person up to you that needs you. God, they may be so far from you, but each person here loves someone. They love someone that is struggling. So I ask, God, that they would lift that person up and that they would ask that you would soften that person's heart. And I also ask, God, that they would ask for boldness to share the truth in love with that person when the moment comes. God, we thank you for this opportunity. And we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, as we wrap up, you remember my desire was to be on the radio. That was my desire. God wanted me to serve him. But my desire was to do what I want. Become a rock star. Do my own way. Well, for those of you who don't know, I'm on the radio every single day across the country. Every day. I didn't do anything for that. You see, God makes it so that his plan happens. He isn't trying to steal your joy or steal completely your plans. He just is saying, serve me. He has such great plans for you. If you're struggling, going, well, I don't know if I can give that part. Give it up. Let go. Only great things will come. I'm not saying you're going to be rich and famous. That's not what I'm saying, no. It's about, okay, I've got my little thing I got. Okay, God, here you go. And then he takes it and goes, whammo. Again, your problems don't go away. You still got issues. God is amazing. Serve him in all that you do. Friends, as you leave here today, that person that God brought to your mind, keep praying for them, asking God to soften their heart, and ask God, give me the opportunity to share about you. And friends, as you leave here today, when that moment happens, share. Stop holding on to it. Let it go. go out and make today great. Have an awesome week, friends.